His mercy endures forever and ever and ever and ever. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 13. I was praying about what I should preach on this morning and kind of ending out the year of 2021 for some of us. It can't come quick enough, but I just trust that God has been with us and He's protected us and He's taken care of us. And I have a great expectation for 2022. Glory to God. I just believe that God is going to do great things in 2022. Amen. But in the beginning of 2022, the month of January, I want to set aside some time as a church just to spend a little more time seeking God. So I've done this many times in the past. I've called forth people to fast and pray in the month of January, and we're going to do that again. And when I say that, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to not have any food for the month of January. It can be whatever God puts on your heart. There are many fasts that are described in the Bible, and it says that Daniel ate no pleasant food, and Ezekiel had a special diet that God put him on, and all of those things. But just make sure that you spend some extra time, whether it's a few minutes a day or hours a day or whatever, but spend time alone with God. And what fasting does is it is a way that we can physically deny our flesh, because our flesh wants to eat all the time. And fasting doesn't move God, but it can put us in a position to hear God better. So the month of January, we're going to be praying and fasting for personal direction, for church direction, for direction for our nation, all the things that we should be believing God for. Amen? Amen. So in John chapter 13, and I've preached on this many times, but God put it back on my heart, that we need to be in a place where we understand that our purpose is to be loved by God, but then to turn around and love others as God has loved us. But in John chapter 13, and if you go to verse 33, Jesus is speaking. He says, "Children, I shall be with you a little longer. You'll seek me. And as I said to the Jews, where I'm going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I've loved you, that you also love one another." And God wants us to walk in a kind of love that's supernatural, a love that others can't really relate to, a love that is beyond our flesh. Because our fleshly love is selfish love, right? It's based on, if you do to me, I'll do to you. But God's love, the agape type of love, is completely different. Now, in this context, the context of these particular verses, it's really interesting, because Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you." And then he said, "To love one another." Well, that really isn't a new commandment, because even in the Old Testament, as far back as you can go, the love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, and the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. It was already in there, but he said, "A new commandment." A new commandment. So what's new about it? Just a few words in this verse. It says, "To love one another as I have loved you." Jesus loved us in a supernatural way. And in that supernatural way, he said, "Now I'm going to command you to do the same." So something had to happen in order for them to have the ability to love as Jesus loves. And it's really awesome, because what happened is that in just a few days, Jesus was going to the cross and he was going to die for the sins of the world. And that's part of the story. But the other part of the story is that when he was raised from the dead, it spoke about our justification before God. And what that means is that he took out our stony heart of flesh and put in his heart. So his spirit lives on the inside. On the inside of us, the new man is alive. On the inside of us, we're born again. On the inside of us, not just our human fleshly love exists, but the love of God resides on the inside of me. I can supernaturally love other people just as Jesus loved them, but I've got to come to the understanding of what that love looks like and how it can be lived out. Because it's not, I'll love you if you love me, or I love you until you offend me and then you're dead to me type of thing. It's a love, I love you because I love you, and that's it. And so it carries over even with our families, even with our children, even, you know, with people that we don't even like, we can still love them because we have the love of God on the inside of us. And we'll look into that a little bit more. But many divorces, many separations in families are because we've loved one another with a fleshly love that needs reciprocation in order for it to continue. But the God kind of love just continues whether it's reciprocated or not. In other words, God wants you to know, wants you to understand, wants you to feel His kind of love, but then He wants you to know that you have the same ability to love one another as I've loved you. Glory to God. Go to 1 John chapter 5. That was the Gospel of John. We're going to be in the Epistle of John. And the Epistle of John was written to the church after Jesus rose from the dead and the apostles were out, you know, converting the world. The Bible says that the apostles were turning the world upside down. And one of the things that absolutely caused this to be possible was that the apostles were carrying out the commandment that Jesus gave them, that you love one another even as I've loved you. Verse 1 says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves Him who begot also loves Him who is begotten of Him. By this we know that we are love the children of God when we love God and we keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. He who overcomes the world is he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. What he's saying here is that you receiving Jesus as the Son of God, in other words, He came and He took our place and He died for our sins and He took our sins upon Him, and that we're right with God because of that, then you have a new position. And you've already overcome the world. You don't have to live like the world. You don't have to act like the world. But you need to come to an understanding of who God has made you on the inside. It's not the kind of love that comes from our head necessarily. It comes from the inner man, or the heart of man, or the spirit of man. That kind of love that we need to display, not just to the world and not just to people outside, but everybody. Husbands, wives, fathers, mothers. If we could begin to love our relatives with the love of God, it would change everything. Because the love of God is a sacrificial love. It's a love that gives no matter what happens on the outside. Go back to a chapter there and go to chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. And look at verse 9. It says, whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest, or they're brought to light. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, and does not love his brother. But watch this. This is so good. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. In other words, Jesus' whole purpose is I'm going to show you that love is the absolute badge that a Christian wears, but not love like the world loves, but a love like I've loved. And God wants you to understand that He has a supernatural way for you to love one another. Now, what is love? Love isn't a feeling. Love isn't an act. Actually, the Bible says that God is love. Inside of the existence of God, His whole being is devoted in love. And we're going to go through and maybe see some of the attributes of love. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it describes what love is or how it acts and how it manifests itself. One of the things, and this is something that God showed me a long time ago, that love believes the best of every person. That doesn't mean that we just cover over other people's faults and all of that, but what love does is it believes the potential that God can do in a person who is completely devoted to Him or somebody who's completely surrendered to Him. God can take the worst person and set them on fire and be right with God. Look at Saul. Saul became Paul, but Saul was a murderer, and he was one who was out to destroy the church. But one encounter with Jesus, and Saul became Paul, who wrote the two-thirds of the New Testament. In fact, he wrote about, it's called the Pauline Revelation. And that revelation is that it's all by faith. In other words, Jesus, You did it, but I believe it, and I receive it. And it's because of what You did that now even the Gentiles, everybody, it's open to everybody who believes. If you believe that Jesus is Lord, then you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Your heart has become open for the Spirit of God, not just to communicate with, but to dwell in. You have God dwelling on the inside of you. Isn't that awesome? For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Now skip down to verse 23. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandments. Now he who keeps His commandments abides in Him, and He in him. And by this we know that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He's given us. In other words, our love for one another should be a sign that we are born again, that God lives in us and we live with Him. But too often, it doesn't look like that even in the church, even with Christians who've been born again for a long time. And the reason is because they're loving out of their fleshly self instead of out of their recreated spirit. Because in your spirit, if you'll listen to your spirit, God will put a check on you when you're supposed to be quiet. And He'll tell you to say things when they're supposed to be said and it's uncomfortable. But God's love always, 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 always looks for the best of every person. God's love is patient. It's kind. It's never envious. It never it's never jealous. It never boils over with envy. It's always love. God's love looks out for the other person rather than looking out for its own self-interest. And if we think about it, all of us know what love is in the flesh, but our flesh limits the scope of how we love one another. Our flesh says, you know, I'm going to love this person because they like the same thing that I like. Or I'm going to love this person because they're behaving the way that I think they should behave. But once they don't fit in the norm of the way that I think they should behave, then I'm going to look at them as less than. And we've done that over and over and over again. Listen, even in families. Families have been destroyed because parents have had expectations on the kids that really didn't meet, you know, and the kids didn't come up or meet their expectations. So they said, I'm done with you. And the reality is God would have them love their children in the midst of what they're going through in order for them to be brought back to God so that the purposes of God could be filled in them. I believe the best of every person, and God wants you to believe the best of every person. So we need to walk in the way of love, be consumed with love. Glory to God. Go to Romans. We're going to look at a few chapters in Romans. But look at Romans chapter 13 first. Romans chapter 13. Glory to God, glory to God. When I first got born again and filled with the Spirit during the charismatic movement, and everybody was talking about the gifts of the Spirit, and the gifts of the Spirit are you know, delineated in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and they're awesome, and there's the word of wisdom, the working of miracles, the gift of faith, on and on. It talks about all of those. And people were going, man, I've got this gift, and I've got that gift, or I want this gift, or I'm coveting that gift. And all of that is okay. But in my spirit, in my heart, I said, Lord, I just want to know how to love you and to love people. It was more important for me to have the love of God than it was for me to have the gifts of God. Because I believe that even the gifts of God can be tainted if they don't have the foundation of the love of God. And I think it's interesting in 1 Corinthians that it kind of follows a progression, because it talks about the gifts of God, but then it talks about the operation of the gifts of God, but in the middle of that is the love of God, because we all have to be in His love. Now look at verse 8 of Romans chapter 13. It says this, it says, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves one another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there's any other commandments, are they all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Somebody said, well, you know, we've got to live under the Ten Commandments, or we've got to live under the law. We've got to keep doing this. We've got to keep this Sabbath. We've got to do this, and we've got to do that. And Jesus came, and He simplified it, and He said, these are the two commandments. Love God with all your heart, and then love one another. And the new commandment is to love one another as I have loved you. And if you think about it, and this just makes sense, if you truly love somebody else, you're not going to steal from them. If you truly love somebody else, you're not going to covet what they have. If you truly love somebody else, you're not going to lie to them. So if you have the pure love of God on the inside of you and you're acting out of that love, then all of the other commandments will just automatically happen. That's what Jesus was saying. But look again at this, because it's really interesting. It says you don't owe anybody anything but to love them. And as I said before, and I think it's really important, love, and I heard this from a teacher many years ago. He said, the agape love, or the God kind of love, is a love that has no strings attached. It's easy to say that. It's a whole lot harder to live that. But in other words, that I'm going to love you whether you love me back or not. I'm going to love you no matter what happens or what you do to me. I'm going to still love you. And I'm going to love you in such a way that even if you don't respond to that love, or even if you respond in a negative way, that I'm going to still love you. Easy to say, easy to preach about, but it's a whole lot harder to live out. But that has to be our goal. And so if we're in the flesh, what happens is, all right, I've loved you, but you haven't loved me back. Or I've done for you, and the minute that I need something, you're not there. So you're dead to me, right? That's easy. That's the kind of love that most of us operate in our flesh. But we're not just of our flesh. We're of our spirit. We're supposed to be living out of our born-again spirit. And in our born-again spirit, we can say, no, wait a minute. I love you because I love you. So how does that look? Maybe you've got somebody that you've been giving to. Maybe you've given them several things, or you've been there for them. You've helped them, and you've helped them, and you've helped them, and you've helped them. And all of a sudden, when you need help, they're nowhere to be found. And you get an attitude. You go, well, fine. I'm just going to walk out of that. You're dead to me. Forget it. I'll never do anything for you again. What you've just identified is that you've been walking in the flesh kind of love instead of the God kind of love. Because the God kind of love says, I'm going to do for you whether you return to me or not. Now, I'm not telling you that you won't have a conflict in your mind when you've done something over and over for somebody, and this is how you repay me. But in your spirit, if you'll listen to your inner voice on the inside, your inner spirit will say, what'd you do that for? Just give that to them. Just love them. Just let love be over them. Don't expect something in return. Love them because love is who you are. Love is who I've made you. Love is what I've given to you. Right? If you love somebody, you're not going to try to manipulate somebody. And when you give your love away, you don't put a guilt trip on somebody because they haven't returned it in the same way that you've given it. You can't do that, because if you do that, then you're just giving out of a fleshly love. And fleshly love, from some standpoints, is pretty good, but it's not the highest kind of love. The highest kind of love is that, God, you love me so that I can love others through you. Watch this. Now go back to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I just think we need to reevaluate ourselves, and especially from the standpoint of being hurt. Because when hurt people get hurt, they want to hurt people. And we have to let God's love soothe our hurts so that He can use us. Most things that people do that are odd or off, they do them because they don't understand the love of God. They're not operating in the love of God. We need to be operating in that love. Look at verse... let's just go to verse 1. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace and where we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Look at this. What this is saying is that once we gave our hearts to Jesus, everything changed. We now have access to the grace of God. We have access to the life of God. We have access to the voice of God. God hears us, but also God speaks to us. Verse 3 says, not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. In other words, when we focus on who is in us and what God has done for us, then the things that happen on the outside of us cannot move us away from what God wants us to do. And this says that the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. I believe with all of my heart that I can love you as God loves you if I'll love you through my spirit, from where God is communicating with me, rather than from my feelings. My feelings, a sense of right or wrong. I need to get away from that and start operating out of the God kind of love. That God loves me. God loves you. So when you're talking to your employees, when you're talking to about your boss, when you're talking about anybody, implore the love of God and use the love of God as a gauge to whether you should be saying what you're saying or doing what you're doing. It's like, yes, I have a right to just really put this person down, or listen, I need to justify myself, so I'm going to tell you what that person did to me, or I'm going to make that person feel bad because they did something to me. See, all of that is fleshly love. And God wants us to get out of that, because He wants to use us in such a way that people can see us and they can say there's something different about. What is it different that they have? They have something different. And what's different is that the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart. I have the capacity to love you like God loves you. And we often say this to people, especially if you've ever done any witnessing, gone out witnessing door to door, whatever. You said, well, we just want you to know that God loves you. God loves you. But all of us need to understand that God's love for us needs to be experienced so that it can be displayed. In other words, the more that we know that God loves us, the more convincing we can be that God loves other people. Right? And think about this. We all live behind the windows of our own soul, and we know that our thinking and everything that's gone into it, we know what we've done wrong, we know what we've done right, and oftentimes it's like, God, how could you love me? How could you not view me through the lens of what I've done? But he says, that's not it. I love you because I'm love. And you see, that's the commandment that Jesus gave to us, that we love one another even as He loved us. So oftentimes when we're dealing with people, and I'm not talking about people, I am talking about everybody, but I'm talking specifically about the people that have the potential to hurt us or the people that have the potential to do us wrong. We need to look at them through the lens of God's love and say, God, how do you love them? Lord, what do you think of this person? Lord, what do you think of that person? You see, over the years, as I've done this ministry thing for a long time, I found that there's no perfect people. And I found that people come and people go. And sometimes you just wonder if you're doing anything right. Paul said this, he said, the love of God constrains us or propels us or pushes us to find people to love. Because God wants all people to be reconciled to Himself, and He wants to use you in order to do that. So what would happen if all of a sudden your whole being shifted and people came up to you and said, What's different? I'll tell you a story. A person that I know, and she's an awesome person, but she got saved later in life, and so she was known for having a little bit of temper and known for don't mess with mama type of thing. And she got saved. She got born again, and God began to do a work on the inside of her, and love began to be developed in her. And so even her kids and grandkids would go, you know, Mom, what's different about you? Mom, how come you don't blow up anymore? Mom, what's going on? And all that changed was everything. All that changed was she had given her heart to Jesus. And when she gave her heart to Jesus, Jesus not only took her sin, but put His Spirit within her. And because of that, her whole life was changed, and everybody could view the changing of her heart because her love for them was different. It wasn't conditional anymore, and God was beginning to use her. But God showed her, you know, how to teach people, how to treat people, how not to blow up anymore, because the love of God is on the inside of you. If you're born again, if you're saved, the love of God is on the inside of you. And if you'll start to learn to cultivate that relationship with your heart and His heart, then life won't be about you as much anymore. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. See, love is not self-seeking. We have to love as He loves. Jesus came, He died on the cross, didn't have to, but He did it because of you. He did it because of me. And watch this, it's not that I'm so good that he decided, you know, Bruce is good, so I'm going to go love on him. I'm going to die and give myself for him. No, he's so good that he said, I want Bruce. He's so good that he's saying that to every person that's ever existed. The love of God is a potential for every person when if they'll just hear the gospel and then respond to the gospel. But then once they respond to the gospel and the love of God is shed abroad in their heart, then there's the potential for them to love as He loves. And that's got to be our goal. Nothing else. It doesn't matter how many cars we have and how many houses we have. None of that matters. What matters is what effect the love of God has had on us so that we can love others the same way. Glory to God. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 6. We are of God. He who knows God hears us, and he who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. But he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this is the love of God that was manifest toward us, that God had sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might through him have life. And in this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His own Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, ought we not love one another? See, the love of God was shed abroad, was given to us in the very fact that He sent His Son. And the word propitiation, and we don't use that very much, but that means to pay the penalty for. So, we need to be in a position where we begin to understand that God loved me, so He paid the penalty for all of my shortcomings. And if that same love is in me, then I can look at other people and see them in their shortcomings and cut them some slack. Begin to give them grace. Begin to ask God, even those that have hurt us, say, Lord, I just want to be used by you to love them. And think about Stephen when he's being stoned to death. He said, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You see, the love of God was on the inside of him. He was speaking not out of his flesh, because his flesh was hurting. When you get rocks thrown at you and pelted at you by many people, it hurts. But out of his spirit, he was saying, Lord, I don't want any of these to die in their sin and be away from you. I want them to be with you. So I am praying even in my death, Lord, that you not lay any of these sins against them. Not one. Why? Because he had the love of God, that same love that sent Jesus to the cross, he had in him. That same love that he put in Jesus so that Jesus would pay for all of your shame, all of your pain. All is like, this is on me. Remember Jesus on the cross, and he was looking at all the people who were tormenting, and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was talking about the religious folks who put him on the cross. He was talking about the Romans that nailed his hands to the cross. He was talking about those that spit on him, those that were cursing at him, those that were making fun of him. He said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And if the love of God is inside of us and it's constraining us, then that ought to be our response when we're hurt. That ought to be our response when somebody comes against us. Now watch this. Years ago, I was reading and meditating on the Word of God. And I was in a situation where people had said some things, people had done some things, and I was going to set them straight. I was going to use the pulpit to be my courtroom so that I could justify myself in the midst of the situation. And God said to me, He said, listen, if you need to be your justifier, then I can't be. And I went, whoa, what does that mean? That means if I have to be proven right in my relationship with somebody else, then I'm not fully trusting that God is the one who's going to justify me in the end. And I'd rather have His justification than my own justification. There's scriptures that say, listen, don't take an eye for an eye. Don't, you know, beat somebody down because they're going to beat you up or whatever. It says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. What does that mean? Okay, Holy Spirit, sick them. No, that doesn't mean that. What it's meaning is that I'm the final judge. I'm the arbiter. I'm the one whose opinion really matters. So if you can love one another as I've loved you, I'll straighten it all out in the end. Everything will be right because I'm right. So what am I saying to you this morning? I'm saying to you this morning, I want you to take a look at the Word of God. And I want to take you to take a picture of how you're reacting and relating to other people. And ask yourself, am I relating to other people through the love of God? Or am I relating to people through the love of flesh? Do I like people because they like me? Am I okay with people because they do the things that I want them to do? Or do I love them because I love them? I'm not making excuses for wrong things, but what I'm saying is that we can love them through their wrong things because we have the potential to love them as God loves them. And let's, in closing, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we'll read this. And again, this is the picture that's painted for who we are, what our goals are. And we're going to start in verse 1. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become a sounding brass or a changing cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but I have not love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor and give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. You see, you can do all the outer actions without the inner knowing and the inner feeling of love, or the agape love coming out of you, and it's all worthless. Yeah, but I was a good mother. I was a good employee. Yeah, but did you love? Did you love with the God kind of love? Because that's the indicator that God's looking for. Verse 4 says this, and this is how you ought to view people in your relationships. This is how we ought to love one another. This is how we fulfill the commandment when Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you. Listen to this. Love suffers long and is kind and does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. And love never fails. So when we're looking at one another, and I've done this for years where it says love there because the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart, I put myself in the Word. So here's what I say, and I'm speaking to myself so that I can counter the emotions or the flesh that wants to get involved. Watch this. I say, I suffer long, verse 4. I'm patient and kind. I do not envy. I do not parade myself. I'm not puffed up. I do not behave rudely. I do not seek my own. I'm not provoked. I think no evil. I do not rejoice in iniquity. I do not rejoice in truth. I bear all things. I believe all things. I hope all things. I endure all things. And I never fail. Because the love of God is on the inside of me. One story and we'll close. Years ago I was working and I've been meditating on these particular scriptures, been saying just what I said over and over and over and over myself. And I've been doing it out of the classic Amplified version. And in that version, there's one statement that says, love believes the best of every person. And so I was at work, and we were as it happens at work, I worked at a shop that had three different shifts, and human nature is that your shift is the best shift, and the other shifts don't measure up to your shift, that kind of thing. And so a conversation with the person I was working with, we got to talking about somebody on the first shift. And the conversation started to going down a road of, well, he did this, he didn't do that, she, you know, all of that kind of thing. And really what it was is we were comparing ourselves with himself, and if we could make him feel less, then we'd feel better. And so the man that I was working with was beginning to go and rehearse all of these things, and I'm going, yeah. And I began to open my mouth to say something, but in my heart, in my spirit, I heard this: love believes the best of every person. And I yielded to that. I said, nope, I'm not going to speak evil against him. I'm not going to speak curses on him. I'm not going to speak to his flaws. I'm not going to tell to somebody else, right, what I've heard in my head, or what even what my feelings are sensing. I refuse to put that upon him, because if I put that upon him, then I can't love him like God loves him. You see, the kind of love that I'm talking about this morning is a supernatural love. It's not a natural love. And you have to begin to meditate on it. You have to begin to tell yourself who you are in Christ Jesus, and you have to come from a source that I can do that. I can. Watch this. The Bible says that true love will lay its life down for another. Come on. So in the love of God, I can take the hit so that God's love can surround the person that's trying to hit me. I can take the accusation, or I can take the slander. I can take all of that and say, God, you're my justifier. You're the one who's going to work it all out in the end. I just want your truth. So God, I'm going to love the other person no matter how they act, because I want your best for them. I want your love to be seen in me so that it could be seen in them. Walking in love is the greatest commandment. In fact, the Bible says that faith without love doesn't work. Faith without love doesn't work. So our love walk must be where it needs to be. So I just ask you this morning to think about it, to meditate on it, and think about right now people that are irritating you, maybe people that have done you wrong, maybe people that have really hurt you. And then I'm asking you to ask God to give His love into your heart for that person or for those people or for that group, and then release them to God. Because God loves them as much as He loves you. Can we do that this morning? Let's pray. Father, I thank You again that You sent Jesus to die on the cross for me, that He paid the price for my sins. I thank You, Lord, that You've taken me to Yourself. That day that I just simply prayed a little prayer and said, Father, in Jesus' name, I ask Jesus to be Lord of my life, and I'm going to lay my life down for Him. For the rest of my life, I will serve You. That day changed my eternity, because that was the day that Your Spirit came to live on the inside of me. If you've never done that, just pray it. Just ask Jesus to become Lord of your life. Give God your life. Lay down your life for Him, and everything will change. But Father, I just yield every person to You that's ever hurt me. Even in the last few weeks, Lord, where I've been disappointed in people, where I've been let down in people, God, and it's hurt me, it's crushed me. Father, I've been looking more at myself than I have for them, so I ask You to forgive me for that, and I ask You to bless them. I ask You to be with them. I ask You to touch them, God, and I release them to You in Jesus' name. Father, I thank You for blessing everybody who's listening online, everybody that's here in the room, and Lord, we just give You all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So remember, month of January, we're going to be seeking God. We're going to hear from God. We're going to get direction. personally, for the church, for corporately, everything. But we're going to just have a time for really seeking the will of God going forward. I want to thank everybody for everything that you've done for the church, for the body of Christ this past year. God has been good. He's sustained us. God bless you. Happy New Year. I hope your Christmas was just outstanding. In Jesus' name, be blessed. Amen.